Everybody, last week I had a shaila that was presented to me, and I gave what I thought was a fairly simple psak. I can't even call it a psak. I just mentioned what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. That's not really called a psak. And there was a lot of pushback. I'm not sure exactly why. Maybe because people just simply don't know the halacha. So I thought it was a good opportunity to explain what exactly the story was and why it is that I said what I said. So the story was that there was, unfortunately, a woman who passed away in a house. Now, the structure of this house is, it's basically a very big house with two parts to it. And there's one family that lives on one part, an older couple, and there's another family that lives on the other part, a young family. Both sides are all related, and there's one room, both on the main floor and on the basement level, that attaches the two houses. So what happened was, on the one side of the house, a woman passed away. And the question was, what does the rest of the family have to do? They are all Kohanim. And if we assume that the Tumah is going to spread to the entirety of the house, then all of the family members are going to have to leave their house for the time being until they bring out the dead body. So that was the question that I was presented with. I thought I gave a fairly simple answer, as the Shulchan Aruch describes, but apparently it wasn't so simple. I told them before the woman passed away, I was called to the house to go and spend some time with them. And before the woman passed away, I told them they should close off the other half of the house. They should make sure to seal off, and there's nothing, no open spaces in between the doorways that connect the two houses, both on the ground level and on the basement level. And then the Kohanim would be allowed to stay in their side of the house. I'd like to explain why it is that that is okay. I can't explain all of it in one day, so I guess it will be today and tomorrow. So the first part of the question is as follows. Are we really certain that Kohanim, who claim to be Kohanim today, are in fact Kohanim? Is that really clear? So we have a pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar, where we are told the following, Va'ata uvanecha itcha, Aaron HaKohen is told, you and your children, tishmar es kuhunaschem, you should look after your kuhuna. L'chol dvar ha-mizbeach ol-mibes la-paroches va'avodasam. You have to be careful to do all of the jobs that you were instructed to do as the chosen people, as the Kohanim who are supposed to do the jobs in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, says the Sifri, this pasuk does not only mean to warn Aaron HaKohen to follow the rules and to run the Beis HaMikdash the way it's supposed to be run, but the Sifri learns from here also, Mikan Amru, Makam Haya Achore Beis LaParoches, Shasham Bodkin Yichusei Kuhuna. There was a designated area in the Beis HaMikdash where they would examine and research and investigate anybody who claimed to be a Kohen, and they would make sure that you really are from a family of Kohanim, and that you really belong doing service in the Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayis that obviously the Sanhedrin who sat in the Beis HaMikdash every day had very important jobs, and any major issue that came up in the Jewish community had to be adjudicated by the Sanhedrin that sat in Yerushalayim. However, he says that was not, their job was not limited to Dinei Torah. Their job extended to many other areas. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Sanhedrin, should there be a communal need, we have to extend the city of Yerushalayim, we have to extend the parameters of different things. You need a Sanhedrin Agdolov to be Mekadosh the Chodesh. Says the Pirush HaMishnayis, one of the extra jobs of the Sanhedrin is to look into every Kohen and to make sure that the Kohen is really doing the job that he's supposed to be doing. And if they find out that there's a Kohen who's been doing service in the Beis HaMikdash, who really, we don't know if he's a bona fide Kohen or not, it is their job to make sure to distance him, to make sure that he doesn't continue to serve, because he doesn't have a right to. So this is basically the way it used to work in the Beis HaMikdash, and it is based on this process that the Gemara says in Maseches Kiddushin, the following statement, Ein bodkin lo min ha-mizbeach u-lemailo. The Gemara tells us, once you have a Kohen that comes and does service and has been doing service in the Beis HaMikdash, there is no reason to do any more checking into him. There's no more investigation necessary because we assume that there was a thorough screening process that he went through in order to get him to this place. Once you have a Kohen who's duchening, so you assume if we allowed him to get this far, obviously somebody looked into it, and therefore we have a right to assume that he certainly is a Kohen. You don't have to look into anybody who we already have looked into before. And this is the way the Rambam paskins the halacha as well. Says the Rambam, how do we know how to determine exactly who a proper Kohen is? Who is a real Kohen? How do we know someone's a bona fide Kohen? It is only if we have two Edim that come, Shehu Kohen ben Ploni HaKohen, and they testify that he is the son of somebody else who was a Kohen as well, and that person had edus on him that he was the son of somebody else, until you could trace it back, says the Rambam, to somebody who served in the Beis Hamikdash. Al gabi hamizbeach. She'ilu lo badku bezen agadol acharav, lo hayam einichan oso la'avod. Says the Rambam, we can rest assured. Once you have a trace, a line back to the Beis Hamikdash, then we know that obviously the person is certainly a Kohen, because they must have gone through the screening process in the times of the Beis Hamikdash. So that is the way to really know that somebody is a Kohen. Ba'avonoseinu harabim, obviously we do not have a Beis Hamikdash, and we have not had a very careful investigation ever since the time of the Churban Beis Hamikdash. So much has happened since that time, and the question is, what is the status of Kohanim today? We don't have a Ksav Yichus. Most Kohanim don't have some piece of paper, some document that lines them back, traces them back all the way thousands of years. So the question is, what is the status of our Kohanim today? We refer to Kohanim today as Kohane Chazaka. They are not Kohane Yichus, they are not Miyuchasim, we don't know for sure, but they are referred to as Kohane Chazaka. What does that mean? It means we have an assumption that they are Kohanim. And Chazaka is not a concept that is limited to Kohuna. Chazaka is something we use in Dine Mamunus, and it's something we use in Isser Beheter. For example, how am I allowed to eat in somebody else's house? Maybe I have to be concerned that they're going to serve me some non-kosher food. The answer is because we have a chazaka that people won't have treifa food in their house. If you're an honest, God-fearing Jew, we have the right to assume that you're probably going to serve me kosher food as well. And in Dine Mamunus, we have the same idea. We have certain chazakas, certain assumptions that we base our understanding off of, and we can paskin a shaila based on that as well. So the same goes over here with regard to Kohanim. Nowadays, we refer to all the Kohanim who claim to be Kohanim as Kohane Chazaka, which means that we have an assumption that they are probably Kohanim because their fathers told them they were Kohanim. And therefore, we have that institution today as well, and this is why the Kohanim Duchen today, and this is why we have all the different things that the Kohanim do today as well. However, the problem is, it's still not clear exactly what is the status of Kohane Chazaka. Once we establish that a person who claims to be a Kohen is probably a Kohen based on the Chazaka, based on the assumption, should we assume that he is a Kohen Bivados, that is with certainty, or should we assume that is just Kohane Safik? What will be the difference? We'll see in a couple of minutes. There will be a major difference. So the Maharshal, one of the great tzaddikim in the 1500s, lived in Poland. He was really a prolific author. He wrote the Yamshel Shlomo and the Maharshal on the Gemara. So he writes as follows: Ukaes ba'avonosenu, because now we are in galus, meirov arichus hagalus va'agzeros, we have an extensive history in our exile, v'hagerushim imedina lemedina, we've been exposed, we've been sent from one country to another, nizbalbalu, and we've been mixed up, v'halavai, he says, shalom nizbalbal zera kodesh b'chol, he says it would be amazing if we really were able to say with certainty that every person who claims to be a Jew is actually a Jew. We've been all over the world, and who knows who was marrying who, and who knows exactly what was going on. Avol, he says, Zera Kohanim Leviim, Karv Levadai Shenizbalbalu Rubam Al Mechtsasam Bezera Yisrael. He says, there is no way that you can ascertain with certainty that somebody who claims to be a Kohen has really had that tradition for so many thousands of years. We don't even know, says the Maharshal, that everybody who claims to be a Jew is really a Jew. So how can you claim that somebody who claims to be a Kohen or somebody who says that they are a Levi, how can they say that with certainty, and therefore he is under the opinion that absolutely not. The Kohanim that we have today are only assumed to be Kohanim, but they really are not considered to be full-fledged Kohanim. This seems to be the opinion of the Magen Avraham as well. The Magen Avraham in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch writes that we have a mitzvah in the Torah of Vikidashto, which means you have to make sure that a Kohen is the first to do everything. Which means you have a Kohen sitting at the table, you have to serve him first. You have a Kohen doing anything else, you have a Kohen online, you have to let him go first. You have to show a certain sense of awe and respect and dignity for Kohanim. Says the Magen Avraham, where I come from, we don't have such an idea. Nobody does that. Even though it's certainly a pasuk in Chumash, it's certainly one of the Taryag mitzvahs, there's no question about it. Says the Magen Avraham, what's the rationale for us not being careful about the mitzvah of Viki Dashto, of letting the Kohen go first and showing him honor and respect that he deserves as a Kohen? Magen Avraham says, because we don't really know that anyone's Kohanim today. And therefore, because we have no certainty with that at all, so we don't have an obligation to go so far out of our way to be Mechabe the Kohen who might not even be a Kohen at all. You skip about 150 years, you have the great tzaddik Rabbi Yaakov Emden, who is one of the luminaries in Germany, and he writes about this as well, and he says that he feels that Kohanim today are only Safek Kohanim, We have no tradition at all as to who is considered a real Kohen and who is not, and therefore he writes a couple of points. He says, number one, he doesn't think it's correct that a Kohen should accept money for Pidyon HaBen. You're stealing, he says. How can you take money from another Jew and say, I'm going to do the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen? So you want to try and perform the mitzvah, that's okay. Take the money and then make sure to give it back to him. You might not have a right to keep the money. And therefore, he says, a Kohen who does a Pidyon HaBen and keeps the money for himself, he writes that is gezel hu biyado. He is as if he has stolen the money, he had no right to take it. And then he says, not only that, he would suggest, he writes, that as a Yisrael who's trying to make sure to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen to redeem his son, you should go to every Kohen in the world, everybody who you meet, and he should do the Pidyon over and over again, because you never know, maybe the last one you asked wasn't a real Kohen, and maybe the next one is not real either, so you should just keep going until you make sure that you found someone who is a real Kohen, and because we don't really know who that is, the Yaivit suggests that you should just keep doing that for years and years on end until maybe you'll find somebody who is the correct one. In fact, the Minchas Chinuch takes it a step further and he says, what if you're a Kohen and you decide that you're going to do the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen because you assume that you're a Kohen and you keep the money, and then a couple of minutes later, a couple of years later, you have an opportunity to get married, and we know that when a husband and wife get married, the husband has to give from his own money to be Mekadosh his wife. Says the Minchas Chinuch, it's a Safek Kiddushin. If you took the money that you got from a Pidyon HaBen and you chose to use that as the money for the marriage, he says that's a Safek Kiddushin, because maybe it's not yours. Maybe you don't have a right to take that money. Now that is going perhaps a little bit too far. Why? Because the Gilyon Maharsha writes in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch that he thinks this is getting a little bit out of control, because he says, you can't call me a gazlan. A gazlan means I go to somebody else and I steal your money. And you had no right to take it. And I had no right to be involved in this engagement at all with the money. However, says the Gilyon Maharsha, when you have a Yisrael, who you tell him from the outset, I think I'm a Kohen, but I don't know 100% where my tradition comes from. I'm assuming this way because my father assumed that way. Says the Gilyon Maharsha, how can you call that gezel? I didn't steal from you. That was the understanding when you gave me the money. You're taking a risk, and you're willing to take the risk, because maybe you're going to perform the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen. So therefore he says, he thinks, that would be taking it a little bit too far to say that I actually have to give back the money, and if I don't give back the money, I'm called a gazlan, and if I go and I'm a kaddish and isha with this money, then I'm certainly considered a gazlan, a safek yidushin. He says that's going a little bit too far. But the point is that there are major achronim who assume that maybe kohanim bizman hazeh are not really considered to be kohanim vada'im, perhaps they are only kohane safek. In the 1500s, there was another great luminary by the name of the Mabit, and he was one of the members of the high court of the Beis Yosef, who lived in Svat. And he writes about this as well. And he says, no, afilu bizman hazeh. He says, today, in our days, when we've been through galus, and we don't really have a clear tradition all the way back, he says, a Kohen who comes and claims that he's a Kohen, he has a right to assume that he is a Kohen, l'chol hadvarim, umahan yulech hezkoso min ha-Torah. And we assume that you are a Kohen based on the chazaka, the same way chazaka works in every other area of halacha. Like we said, we can paskin shaylas and dine mamunus and isser beheter with chazaka, so we can paskin a shayla here as well. And therefore he says that kohanim who assume that they're kohanim are really considered to be vadai kohanim today. And therefore all the rules apply to them. He's allowed to do a Pidyon HaBen, he's allowed to duchen in the morning, he's allowed to do all the different things, and he's not allowed to be metame to a dead body as well. The Aruch HaShulchan in the 1900s also discusses this issue, and he says he thinks it's a terrible thing to say that Kohane Chazaka today are not considered real Kohanim. L'dayti aser lo markein, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Not only do I think it's wrong that we should assume that Kohanim are not real Kohanim, but he says, I think it is prohibited for a person to say that. Why? Shal yidei kach, if you're going to start explaining to Kohanim that, maybe you're not really a Kohen, yavo lahakdin mala sukdushas ha-kohuna v'asi l'zalzule. They're going to ultimately neglect the fact that they are Kohanim, they're going to ignore it, and then they're going to do something that they shouldn't do. And he says, then they're going to go to a cemetery, and they're going to attend a funeral, and to different things that a Kohen is certainly not allowed to do. You have to be very careful, says the Aruch HaShulchan, that we make sure to look at Kohanim today as real Kohanim, because the alternative is far worse, because if we don't allow the Kohanim to assume that they are real Kohanim, we run into a major problem. And in fact, some Achronim say, if we assume that Kohanim today are not real Kohanim, then it would be usher for them to duchen. The Gemara says in Maseches Ksubas that the only one who has a right to be no say as kapav is somebody who is a Kohen. Let's say somebody in the shul, a Yisrael, decides one day, you know, it's very nice, I want to join the Kohanim, I'm going to go up to the Duchen with them, I'm going to do the job together with them, I also love the Jews, I also want to give them a blessing. The Gemara says that would be a violation of the Isser Aseh. You're not allowed to do that if you are not designated as a Kohen. And therefore, from the fact that we assume today that a Kohen is allowed to go on any given day and do the Birchas Kohanim, that is an assumption that Kohanei Chazaka today are considered to be real Kohanim, Vadai Kohanim, and therefore all the rules of Kahuna apply to them, the same way those rules applied many, many thousands of years ago in the times of the Beis Hamikdash, when we knew with absolute certainty that a Kohen was really a Kohen. So that is part one of the question. The first thing we have to deal with when we talk about whether or not someone's allowed to be Metameh and whether or not Tumas Ol travels past the closed doors is, first of all, are Kohanim today considered real Kohanim? And the answer to that is, the overwhelming majority of the Acharonim say yes. The Stechemer comes to that conclusion as well. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has that conclusion also when he talks about a Kohen getting a skin graft. How could a Kohen be Metameh himself if he's going to get a skin graft from somebody else? Maybe that's a problem of Tumas Kahuna. This is a major issue, and it has many far-reaching consequences, but the basic consensus is, my father told me the same thing, that we assume that Kohanei Chazaka today are considered Vadai Kohanim, and therefore all of the rules of Kahuna, as outlined in the Torah, apply to them as they normally would.